It's time for the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
And here's today's sports headline. The NCAA voted into my feckless Hall of Shame. Yeah, today's word is feckless. And according to a dictionary source, let's verify the meaning. Feckless is an adjective. It means weak, ineffective, worthless, and irresponsible. Now, most of the time I've heard the word feckless being used, it was immediately followed by the word leadership. And yep, that describes the NCAA very well recently. It is weak. On Wednesday, the top overseer of college athletics cemented its position in the athletics wing of the Feckless Hall of Shame by announcing its latest ruling. And though Pro Golf's PGA Tour is currently begging for a nomination into that same special group, the NCAA just keeps outdoing itself with one head-scratching action or inaction after another. After already opening the proverbial Pandora's box by allowing scholarship athletes the right to transfer from one school to another without penalty for a limited number of times during their career without having to sit out for a full season, the NCAA further loosened the rules this week and will now permit unlimited transfers. Here's a portion of the opening declaration from the NCAA's own website. Quote, "The Division I Council on Wednesday unanimously adopted a package of rules changes to allow transferring student athletes who meet certain academic eligibility requirements to be immediately eligible at their new school, regardless of whether they transferred previously. Specifically, to be immediately eligible after a transfer, undergraduate student athletes would have to have left their previous school while academically eligible and in good standing, not subject to disciplinary suspension or dismissal, and meet progress toward degree requirements at their new school before competing. For graduate transfer student athletes to be eligible, they would have to earn a degree from their previous school, leave while academically eligible, and be enrolled as a full-time postgraduate student while continuing to satisfy minimum academic standards." Now, the story goes on to include a quote from the chair of the council, Linda Teeler of the NCAA, who also happens to be the deputy athletics director at the University of Florida. Please try to contain your laughter when I read this next quote to you. "With these rule changes, NCAA members continue to prioritize long-term academic success for college athletes who transfer while supporting their opportunity to compete immediately." Academic success? Now, most of these athlete students, which is my new word as I say rest in peace to the term student athletes, who are piling into the NCAA's very own transfer portal today, are leaving their current school to find more playing time and/or additional NIL cash being offered to them by another school. There's that feckless word again, like ineffective. And from a legal perspective, though, it is understandable to see why the NCAA may have made this ruling this week. Let's say that a very smart and well-financed non-athlete student with a stellar GPA wants to transfer to a new school every year just to experience college life in a different university setting. As long as that student was academically eligible to meet the transfer requirements of the new school, that move was likely to be approved. And a regular student could indeed transfer three or more times if they met the transfer requirements of the new institution. Do many traditional college students actually transfer annually just for the fun of it? My wife and I talked about it, and we'd wager that it would be less than 0.1% who actually change schools three or four times in a four-year degree. The NCAA was facing a dark cloud of several lawsuits which were challenging the limits to athlete students' transfer restrictions. Some of them claimed it amounted to a restraint of trade, while others categorized this as a violation of antitrust laws. So the NCAA had a choice. The organization could have gone to court to vigorously argue and defend its position. Instead, the governing board of college sports did a 180-degree about-face, back down, and dropped any restrictions on transfers. Yeah, they're pretty worthless, aren't they? The NCAA's athlete student transfer portal is going to heat up even more now with the loosening of any transfer restrictions this week. But how hard really is it to transfer from one college to another? I decided to look into it. The academic requirements for high school students getting into college for the first time are fairly straightforward. The rules for transfer students, though, can vary from school to school and state to state. So let's go to the state of Louisiana and take a look at the transfer requirements for four different institutions in the Pelican State. First, let's go into UL Monroe. And according to the ULM website, these are the requirements. To be eligible for an immediate admission, a transfer student ages 25 and under must meet one of these following requirements: have completed an associate's degree or higher from an accredited institution, or completed a minimum 18 hours of transfer credit with a cumulative GPA of 2.0 and completed college-level math and English with a grade of C or above. Now let's move down the road a few miles to Louisiana Tech University, where the requirements for transfer are a little bit stiffer for those incoming students. The transfer student must, at Louisiana Tech, have earned 24 hours or more with a cumulative GPA of 2.25 or higher, have no developmental deficiencies, and have completed a college-level English or mathematics course, or have earned an associate degree or higher from an accredited institution. Down the road at LSU, the academic requirements are slightly more difficult to come play ball for the Tigers. They involve 30 or more transferable academic non-remedial credit hours from a regionally accredited college or university, a 2.5 academic GPA on transferable college work, a grade of C or better at college-level English courses, a grade of C or better at college-level math courses. Now, in our fourth and final Louisiana example, we're going to go try to transfer to a private university. So if someone wanted to come and play sports at Tulane University in New Orleans, this is what the Greenies currently require: a common application, high school transcript, college transcript, and potentially an ACT or SAT score. Now, while reviewing transfer applications, Tulane looks for strong transfer applicants with at least a 3.0 GPA or higher with coursework in English composition or college writing, higher level mathematics such as calculus or statistics, and ideally a foreign language. So let's summarize the primary transfer requirements for those four Louisiana universities. At UL Monroe, a cumulative GPA of 2.0 earned with 18 credit hours. At Louisiana Tech, a 2.25 GPA and 24 credit hours. At LSU, a 2.5 GPA and 30 credit hours. And at Tulane, a 3.0 GPA plus an undisclosed number of college credit hours earned. There is one thing which is certain, though. More athlete students are going to be putting their names into the NCAA's transfer portal soon with these loosened transfer provisions. This also means that the chances of seeing your favorite college football, basketball, men or women, baseball or softball players staying for three or more years at the same school is likely to continue to decline. The athlete students will spend more time checking on the NCAA's transfer portal in hopes of grabbing more playing time and perhaps more of that NIL loot by transferring to another school. Major college coaches are likely to spend less time on the high school recruiting trail unless that school's NIL collective, or the piggy bank, can get prospective high school players to sign a multi-year contract upon agreeing to play athletics at that university. For fans of college athletics like you and me, the chances of seeing our favorite football, basketball, or diamond star for multiple years at the same school are fading fast. College fans tend to enjoy watching their favorite players growing and improving as they stay for multiple years. For television, a decline in school loyalty by these key college athlete students could start to translate into lower fan interest in college athletics overall in the coming decade. If college athletics continues to morph into the equivalent of minor league professional sports, only the most rabid college programs may continue to flourish. The big-time schools may get richer, while the lesser names will sink lower. So thanks for mostly nothing, NCAA. By failing to lead and get the college athletics directors and major conferences all together to broker some tough deals on several key issues in the last decade, the NCAA has abdicated most of its control over major college athletics. And it's only a matter of time before the largest college conferences, like the SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, and the ACC, well, if the ACC survives, that is, will negotiate their own deal and walk away from the NCAA. Many expect them to create this new organization and take the largest share of television money along with them soon. The ineffectiveness of the NCAA to adapt to changes and to lead major college athletics through this period of explosive growth in television revenues may relegate the NCAA, if it survives, to a much smaller role in college athletics in the future. Feckless? Absolutely. If the NCAA was a New York Stock Exchange listed stock, it'd be time to sell it.
Sell, sell, sell!
The good ship NCAA appears to be aimlessly drifting and lost at sea. With its slow reactions and lack of decisive and effective leadership, the next few years may bring significant structural changes within major college sports. In other words, this could get even wilder. Meanwhile, millions of college sports fans like us are being overlooked as greed dominates the thoughts and actions of the primary participants. It's never a good idea to omit consideration of your paying customers, the fans of college athletics, during these turbulent times. I learned a valuable customer service lesson early in my business career. It goes like this. The customer may not always be right, but the customer is always the customer. And we, the customers, who help create this tremendous wealth in college athletics, are watching. I'm Swamp Swamy.